Armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
I'm trying
any
to save
idea?
The pump. Really, this
do
is
you
what you're
have
doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
Listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGinn. I don't know much, but I know one thing. They say it's National Cheesesteak Day and National Chocolate Covered Raisins Day. I guarantee it ain't going to be chocolate covered raisins day in my house, by God.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the All American Man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? A TGI Friday, baby, and we are ready to roll. Bobby's on the way. Tones is on the way. We're going to be talking a lot of games, especially with March Madness here. But let's get into baseball real quick to get us started off. We are less than a week away from opening day. Opening day is Thursday. I no longer have to say next this, a week from that, a month from this, 27 days from now. It's this coming Thursday. The Braves tonight, by the way, they play the Red Sox. It's like a 6 o'clock, 6 or 6:05 Eastern first pitch. Trying to look at it real quick. Yeah, 6:05 first pitch. The interesting thing that's going to go down tonight, if you get a chance to catch the game one way or the other. Now, we're not doing the broadcast tonight. Our next broadcast will be opening day, but if you do, at least check the stats after the game, because this is essentially the dress rehearsal for who is Atlanta going to go with. In theory, they'll have one more opportunity to pitch. It will probably be in some kind of minor league capacity as the teams break. But tonight it's Dodd. Dodd is going to the mound. Yesterday it was Schuster. Schuster went six innings, two hits, two runs, two walks. He's been phenomenal this spring. Not anything that's going to jump out at you that you're just going to all of a sudden just get, you know, enamored with, oh man, can't wait for this guy to pitch. But he had a solid outing against a Mets squad that had a lot of their starters. Now they had some guys that were missing, but a lot of the starters for the Mets were in the game. So it's a pretty good litmus test right there, right? So that's item number one. Dodd is pitching tonight. Item number two, Braves fans, tomorrow the Atlanta Braves are going to be in a split squad situation. And I want to double check and make sure that I've got the times for this correct, because I don't want to throw anybody off. But tomorrow the Atlanta Braves split squad. They're at home at 105 in North Florida. Northport, Florida, Cool Today Park, as they call it, against the Twins. And then they're at the Twins. I know that's confusing. At 105, same time, at the Minnesota Twins spring training facility. What came across the wire just a few minutes ago, right before we went on the air, Justin Toscano, Braves beat writer, said that on the Saturday split squad, Max Fried is going to face the Twins group that comes to Northport. So Max Fried's going to be your home pitcher if you're out and about and you're near the ball game. Kyle Wright will pitch in the road game. So that kind of tells you right there how they may be setting up. Opening day was announced that it will be Max Fried. That we know. After that, there's some big debate on if they're going to go to Strider, if they're going to go to Kyle Wright, however they go. But when you see that, you think maybe they're going to set it up with Fried and then Wright and then Strider. But they could go a number of different directions because you still have an open slot for Sunday that they haven't announced yet. But whoever pitches Sunday, they would be set up perfectly as well to pitch the following Saturday. And what they could be doing with Kyle Wright, because he did battle a little bit of an injury bug this spring, wasn't anything major. He could be pitching to set himself up to pitch again later in the week next week, and then would not hit the mound until we essentially go to St. Louis, or maybe even further down the road. Depends on how they haven't really laid that all out, but that's what's going on right now in Braves country. The other big thing that came across yesterday, came across after we went off the air, Rossell Iglesias is going to start the season on the IL. So the Braves closer on the injured list. Now they don't expect it to be a long IL stint. Perfect situation would be he's ready to roll 2 weeks into the season and we never look back, but you never know with this kind of stuff. He had some inflammation and et cetera, et cetera. The short of it, all you really need to know is that he's going to start on the IL. Most likely AJ Minter is the Braves closer, but there's also a very good possibility that the Atlanta Braves are going to end up with a closer by committee situation. And so that's a very real possibility as well. So that's what we have going on right now as the Atlanta Braves get set for the opening day against Washington. Now, all 90% of the opening day pitchers have been confirmed. Most of them have been in stone. Everyone's kind of known, but let me run through that real quick for you. And in case you missed it, Rhys Hoskins, it has been confirmed, torn ACL. He's expected to miss the season. They are going to get a second opinion, but it doesn't sound like if you saw the injury, and I know we jumped the gun a little bit, but if you saw the injury, it just comes to nobody's surprise that it's a torn ACL. So that's what we have going on right there with the Phillies. They're going to have to figure something out there with their offense, because what they have sitting right now to go, you've got Hoskins and Harper on the IL. That's the meat of your lineup that went to the World Series last year. That's a big blow. Now, I know Braves fans are trying to say, hey, we don't have Swanson. But we knew that 2-3 months ago. Let's be honest. We knew that 8 months ago. We knew, most of us knew, most of us who weren't like delusional and insane knew that the Braves were not going to give Swanson the kind of money that he was asking. Now, I know we got a lot of Braves fans that are delusional, and you'll see them all the time on social media. They're like, yeah, what we did. What was the one I saw the other day putting a starting lineup for? I can't remember if the kid was saying for this year or next year. It doesn't matter. It was, you talk about just dumb. It was right around the World Baseball Classic Championship. So it was either before, the day before or day after. I don't remember. And it had Mike Trout playing. God, I think Mike Trout was playing left field for the Braves. Ohtani was the DH/ starting pitcher. And then pretty much the rest of the lineup is what it is. That's happening. The Braves are going to come out there and fork over $1 billion out, trade away their entire farm system, which, by the way, it just got announced today or just newly rated today, the Atlanta Braves farm system is ranked dead last in Major League Baseball. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is most of the kids that they developed and at a high level, they're all in Atlanta right now. But that just shows you what kind of depth, what little depth we have down there. Not necessarily worrying about the injury bug, so to speak. It's more of the fact of we don't have a lot of pieces to go out and make trades for Mike Trout and Ohtani, even if we did have the money. So if you traded for Trout and Ohtani, you're talking about trading at least three or four of your guys up in the big leagues. So come on. I mean, seriously. But anyways, back to real talk and not this, we're going to have, every single offseason. You know what? It even happens during the regular season. There's always some just guy who definitely needs to have some kind of a urine sample given before he starts tweeting. We'll start going these ridiculous ideas. But look, we knew we weren't going to have Swanson back. It was in the tea leaves. The Phillies woke up yesterday morning thinking Rhys Hoskins was their starting first baseman and right in the middle of their lineup for the 2023 season. Now they are reeling. The Mets, same thing with Diaz. So right now we've been fairly fortunate. You hate to see what happened with Iglesias, but this is a part of baseball. It's part of sports. Guys get banged up. You just hope that there's not going to be a long stint on the IL because that would really put a tax on the bullpen. Which with that being announced now, it makes sense now why when folks had talked about Yates being in trouble, Yates was out there pitching yesterday. Yates pitching out there yesterday because they got to get him ready because he's going to be a part of this team. The starters on opening day were announced. It's going to be Alcantara versus Scherzer, Mets, Marlins. That should be a good one. No shock that Jacob DeGrom is also going to debut. He's going to be going up against the Phillies and Aaron Nola. Some of the more interesting ones, Framber Valdez of Houston versus Dylan Cease of the White Sox. That should be a good one. Bieber versus Castillo, Cleveland and Seattle. The Dodgers, they are going to go with Julio Urias, and he'll go up against Zach Gallen. That should be a fun one. And I'm not going to make too big of a deal about the Corbin Burns versus Marcus Stroman because Marcus Stroman, to me, is not an ace. Marcus Stroman is just the highest-paid guy on his team, and so they're putting him in there. Stroman's a number three pitcher, let's be honest. Kluber, same situation. He's not really an ace at this point. If you want to put the best foot forward, Chris Sale would be starting for the Red Sox, but I'm just figuring they've seen him battle injury. And Sarge and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but I had time to think about this off air. And the adrenaline that gets thrown into an opening day, that I'm thinking that's what they're trying to avoid is some ridiculous, goofy injury that sends Sale back on the IL. Greinke is going to start for Kansas City versus Minnesota, who's going to start Pablo Lopez. That's not a great pitching matchup per se, but it's a cool deal that Greinke's going to get another opening day and that Lopez, who's new to his team, is going to get the opening day nod. And then for you Braves fans, it will be Max Fried. It will be Patrick Corbin. And I've joked around and talked about how bad of a signing that was for the Nationals for the last couple of years. I'm going to hold my thoughts on this. He has looked very good this spring. Now, I got to see it to believe it in the actual real games that count. But he's looked extremely on time this year in the spring. But I haven't done a deep dive of who he was going against or whatnot, but I saw his numbers the other night. It's very impressive. So they would love to be able – heck, they would – remember there was a talk about the Braves were trying to make a trade for Corbin and give the Nationals Ozuna and basically just trade bad contracts, and the Nationals wanted nothing to do with it? The Nationals, who have nothing. and would love to get out of Corbin's contract, didn't want Ozuna. That's how you know we're stuck with Ozuna. So stop it with the whole, we could trade Ozuna. I'm sure that clown that had that tweet out there was talking about trading Ozuna for Ohtani straight up or something. Anyways, you see it all. Miles Mikolas, who, by the way, just signed a 2-year extension with the Cardinals. He's getting opening day for the Cardinals, and they're going up against Alex Manoa and Toronto. Got to take a real quick break. When we come back, Bobby's in the bullpen, I guess is how we can refer to it. He's warming up and he's ready to come in. We're going to talk March Madness and a whole hell of a lot more. Keep it locked in here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD wherever you stream. Thursday, March 30th, it's opening day in Braves Country. The Atlanta Braves travel to the Washington Nationals. First pitch, 1:05 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all season long, and it begins opening day. Make sure to tune in right here, Thursday, March 30th, 1:05 Eastern, opening day in Braves Country on Braves Country HD. Hey, sports fans, weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at rdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at rdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Don't you understand? This pool is our bootstraps, and it's lifting us up into the middle class, dude.
Well, just accept the fact that you're white trash, all right? Take a look at yourself. You can't do backflips. You don't know karate. You're white trash.
Welcome back. River Dragon hockey tonight. Columbus River Dragons will be taking on Delaware, and puck drops at 7:30 Eastern right here on the key. You've got the Air Force Heating and Air pregame show. It starts at 7. Welcoming on to the show is Mr. Bobby. Bobby the Kid, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to some more March Madness tonight. I'm looking forward to some other stuff, some NBA action here and there, and a little bit of UFC tomorrow.
Were you a true American and got yourself very little sleep and stayed up for March Madness?
I did, yeah. I stayed up, and it was worth it.
It was. That Gonzaga, man, I was fighting to stay awake. Mm-hmm. That Gonzaga game, that was wow. So yeah. I had Gonzaga in the points. I really wasn't worried about them covering at that point. But what I was super concerned with at the time was that they were about to get eliminated. And I've been pulling for them. What I hated about that matchup is that those were the two teams I liked watching the most.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're gone, right? Yeah. Well, as far as two teams that were left in the tournament. And now they're gone. And now, you know, I'll continue to pull for Gonzaga, and FAU's turning into a fun story. I hate that they knocked out the Vols, but that's turning into a fun story. So I'll probably watch that. But I hate when you get down to the end and then you're like, oh, I don't like any of these teams. So I would have liked to have seen Gonzaga and UCLA play a little later in the tournament, but that was a great game, a great matchup. And they were up by like nine, Gonzaga was, like a little over a minute left. And they just started choking at the free throw line. The dude sailed the pass out of bounds underneath, essentially underneath his own rim. He was maybe four feet. He just sailed it. No one was even near it. What got me, and this has got to stop with college basketball, they go and review everything now.
Yeah. The last thing.
I mean, what did they think? That ball hit somebody? It was nowhere within 5 feet of anybody.
Well, my friend said it the other day. He said the last minute of these games are taking longer than the 19 before it in the half.
They are. Look, baseball has addressed speeding up the games. And it's funny. It's like the elephant in the room that nobody wants to address. Basketball is the one that needs to speed up their games.
Yeah.
It is so dull, both college and pro. It is so dull at the end of the games.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sit through them, man. I'll get to go, oh, geez. All right. Well, 3 minutes left. I guess I can go outside and mow the lawn and come back. I'll go to the store, take my time doing my grocery shopping, pinch all the vegetables. By the time I come back, they might be at the final free throws of the fourth quarter. I don't understand why they don't understand that it's pathetic, because the ratings have dropped unbelievably in the NBA. College ratings are still pretty close to where they were. They've dropped a little bit, but they're pretty close. But they've got to understand, and I don't know if their philosophy is, well, it's more commercials, et cetera, but when you start seeing it dive down, right? You start seeing all the ratings dive down because you're doing this. It's not good. We're selling more commercials. Yeah, you're going to be selling at a lot smaller rate because no one's going to hang around.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, great game last night. The Kansas State game ended up being a good game, even though it had no buzz. I could care less about that game, but it ended up being a good game. And then the game I was probably most excited for was a snore fest, that UConn-Arkansas game.
That game was ugly. UConn pulled away and they did not let it get any close.
The only thing I was right about the entire thing was I kept referring to it yesterday, it was going to be a bloodbath, but I thought it was like a physical game where they were going to just, both teams going down to the wire, defense was going to reign supreme. No, it was a bloodbath, all right. it was darn near genocide. I mean, it was ridiculous. I've never seen a team like Arkansas play so poorly on Thursday, but they looked so good the weekend before.
Yeah, I was watching the game out with my dad, and I couldn't help but notice how sloppy they looked. It was terrible. And UConn looked much better. They still had their moments where they looked, a little rough. There were some bad turnovers, but UConn was dominant.
It was so bad that I thought about punching someone just like that girl did in the women's NWIT. I'm going to punch the Arkansas coach and go, would you do something? Whatever you're doing right now is not working. Every time they would creep back, UConn would drain 2 3-pointers. You're like, nah, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Did you see that video of the girl just sucker punching the other girl in the, first of all, I was making a joke of it this morning on Twitter, but I was like, this is shocking or something like that. And I said, I didn't even know that they had a WNIT. That was the biggest news to me.
Hey, that's news to me as well.
And I feel like this was created because if you're on TikTok much, there was a TikTok video recently of two girls in the NCAAs. I can't remember the names of the teams. Probably not good to remember anyways, because you don't want to give that kind of fame. But one of the girls pulled the other girl close in the handshake line, and you could tell she said something threatening or derogatory to her.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl she was pulling towards had won the game, and she just kind of like, "Hey, get off me, fool."
Yeah.
And that's all the TikTok video was. Now this girl goes in cold cocks, and I just almost wonder if there's this, I think there's a very real possibility that the girl was not as mad as she's making it out to be, but she thought to herself, I'll become viral.
Yeah, I guess that's possible. I mean, like you mentioned, I didn't know there was a women's NIT. So, yeah, that's a good way, I guess, to get some eyeballs maybe in her head.
The only thing I know about women's basketball is this year is that, A, there's evidently a WNIT. B, the two girls got almost, you know, went fisticuffs in the women's NCAA. I still can't. I think there were two Texas teams. I want to say it was like Baylor and Texas, but that, I could just make it up. And the third one is, and it's, I don't, is this live or is this now? Yeah, I think this is live. Miami has two girls who have gone viral on TikTok because they're two really attractive girls and they're kind of dancing around. And
okay,
you know how TikTok do, you know, and they're, you know, anyways, two really attractive girls. I think they're sisters and they may even be twins.
Okay.
But they're beating someone that they're playing. And I mean, I guess it's, I have no way of basing it. Because it's on ESPN on a Friday afternoon, I would think that it would be live for them to preempt their normal broadcasting.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused on why they're playing on a Friday afternoon. Like, you thought you're – I don't know. What do you think what do you think the marketing strategy is there? Well, you got to have ESP on somewhere, so let's go ahead and put it on.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's the call. I'm not really sure.
All the Chili's and Lobster bars and everything that just randomly just put ESP on. ESP will just help our ratings. I remember that years ago on one of the news networks, one of the major news networks. The one that doesn't begin with an F, and they talked about the ratings, and someone did the deep dive and looked at the ratings, and they attributed about 40% of their ratings, which tells you that basically nobody's watching the channel. 40% of the news network from Atlanta, if I can be more specific, 40%. Was coming from restaurant bars, restaurant airports. I was like, you know, that makes sense because every time you go through a restaurant airport or whatnot, that's the you never see the other news network, right? You always see that news network. I was like, man, that's not good. That came out because if you're the one talking to Coca-Cola and saying, hey, you know, look at our ratings here, and that comes flashing. Yeah. Look at your ratings. What's that about? Anyways, the NBA. NBA West has turned into a disaster. I believe it's all your fault. What is going on here? We're going to have like a mass unit coming in. I mean, Kevin Durant, I don't know if he's going to be able to play by the playoffs. They say he probably will, but yeah, we're a lot closer than I think folks believe. If you look at the NBA playoffs, we are like 3 weeks away, I think.
Yeah, clock's ticking, and we haven't got a lot of updates on KD. Obviously, since the night of the injury, where we all saw what it looked like, and it looked bad. I still think he'll probably be back for the first round of the playoffs. But man, it's still. Yeah, you mentioned it the other day. There's not a lot of time for these guys to mesh. The Suns.
Yeah, I mean, there really has been no updates, really. I feel like we've gotten more updates on who you know, the whole conspiracy on the grassy knoll and the Zapruder films. I mean, I'm like, where, like, what is going on here? Like, you don't hear anything about it. And it there was another injury. What was it? It just recently happened, and I can't remember if it was baseball or football, but they said we'll reevaluate in 2 to 3 weeks. And I remember when it happened, I was like, that doesn't tell me you're going to be back in 2 to 3 weeks. It just tells me that we're going to go back and pinch and feel again in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. You know, it's concerning that there's no update on KD, not even a reevaluation timeline. I mean,
it was the Paul George. It was the Paul George.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. He did recently hurt. He has a leg injury, I think.
Right. And they didn't give any kind of timeline. All they said is we'll reevaluate in 2 to 3 weeks.
Which, as you mentioned, 3 weeks, that's playoff time. So, not looking good.
We're going to reevaluate what? Our life? What are we talking about here, man? He's not playing. He's going to reevaluate in 2 to 3 weeks. Let's say the playoffs started in 3 weeks, but we're going to go off the standings for today, right? Mm-hmm. I know there's some movement, but let's just say you could have a good old-fashioned showdown of the Suns versus Clippers with no Paul George and no KD. Let's go. Try to sell that to somebody.
Rough.
Oh, bro.
That's rough.
And then you're going to have Sacramento versus Golden State, which that one would be a fun one. That one I'd be locked. But then you're going to have Ja Morant playing against the Timberwolves, or maybe not. You never know if he's going to go off the reservation and do something just insane.
I wouldn't mind seeing Memphis and Minnesota play again at a pretty entertaining series. A lot of entertaining moments last postseason.
And then Denver-Dallas. Well, this is assuming the 7s and 8s win.
Yeah.
I always just jump past that, but I did find it interesting that Kyrie – Since the trade, his team has a losing record.
Yeah, they have not looked as good as I expected them to be. And it's not even because of injuries. They've been mostly healthy, but I don't know what's not clicking.
Yeah, he's been a little banged up. He's missed some time, but this team had a winning record when they made the trade. They're now a game under 500.
Mm-hmm. Very concerning.
And then what's even more concerning is the New Orleans Pelicans are sneaking back into the playoff conversation. And just about the time you get excited that could happen, Fat Boy Zion's going to blow something else out, and he'll be on the shelf again. He'll get on the shelf just in time for the Pelicans to qualify for the play-in, but he won't be able to play.
Yeah.
That's my prediction. So you being a big NBA head, are you excited about the West right now? What?
I'm not as excited as I once was. I mean, I remember at one point Ja Morant was like, oh, he wasn't concerned about anybody in the West. And then all these trades happened, and we're thinking this is going to be so much fun. But with all these injuries, I don't know what the outlook's looking like.
Be fun too, right? Like, I was looking at this going, all right, I poo-poo on the NBA a lot because the regular season is incredibly dull.
Yeah.
We all know the last 2 minutes, last 4.5 hours. Okay. But we get to the playoffs, you can kind of put all that kind of stuff off to the side, and we should have some really fun series. And then, I mean, I don't even know. I don't even understand how the Lakers are 6-4 without LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to find a way in. They just are.
They'll be in the play-in probably, and I bet they get in, yeah.
And right now, I guess it would be Lakers versus Mavs. Timberwolves versus Pelicans would be the play-ins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the East isn't as wide open because everybody's healthy. That's what it comes down to, right? I think you have five teams in the East that could make some noise. You have two, maybe three real possibilities of getting to the Eastern Conference finals and winning it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't ever like discount any sort of Cinderella story, but the bottom half of the East, I mean, look, I'm going to be pulling for the Hawks, but what's the best case scenario? They win, they beat Toronto, and then just get trucked by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, it'd be a rematch of Eastern Conference Finals from a couple years ago, but I don't think it'd be any competitive. I think Milwaukee would run through.
It's a rematch in Jersey alone. That's all it is. It's not the same two teams.
Yeah.
And
different Hawks team.
We'd get halfway through that series and Trey would start asking about a trade again. So that right there has soured me on trying to get all in on the Hawks, because you don't know how much longer Young's going to be there. And then what's the team going to look like? I look at it as, let's go get some guys that want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate the whole prima donna thing in sports where they're always asking for trades, no matter what the sport is. So if you have a guy that wants to leave, look, Elijah Moore is the perfect example. Elijah Moore started barking, wanting a trade. And now Aaron Rodgers is on the way. I'm sure he's like, heck yeah, now we're talking. Now what happens? He wakes up the other morning. He's heading to the Cleveland Browns.
enjoy Cleveland. Have fun there.
Gotcha! So, anytime a guy like that starts rumbling around and rustling around, I would do it sooner than later, but you pretty much have signed your trade papers at that point.
Yeah, well, we've seen the Hawks go deep in the playoffs with Trae Young, but I'm not sold that he's a guy that can be a number one guy on a team and win a championship. I don't see that.
No, he's definitely a Robin. He is not a Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because I don't think he's got the great score, phenomenal score.
Mm-hmm.
And they're two different guys and two different skill sets, but stick with me on this. He is Russell Westbrook 2.0.
Okay.
He's very talented. He's going to put up points, but I don't think he's going to help you win a championship.
That's fair. Well, and also, if you got the aspect of him not really wanting to be there or not being completely bought in, that's another element of it where can you win with him?
And he's talking, and look, I know he would love to go to the New York Knicks. Man, the Knicks have a good roster. If I'm the Hawks, I go ahead and pluck some guys. I go, yeah, we'll give you Young. We're going to want some other guys that you know, maybe they're soured on still, because I know there's been some stuff in the papers over the last couple of years about Julius Randle not getting along.
Mm-hmm.
Go get you some Julius Randle. And for that matter, they seem like they're ready to give up on RJ Barrett. Go get the two of those and let's build a Young squad down here. And then you give them Young and they'll be happy with Brogdon. I mean, yeah. No, what?
Young and Brunson.
Bronson, yeah, sorry. I just saw Brogdon's face pop up on one of the screens. But that's what I would do if I was at Atlanta. I would just go ahead and let's move on. All right, mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and take a real quick break. When we come back, Bobby and I are going to be talking about some March Madness. Tonight's games, man, there's some great ones tonight. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
I apologize for the distractions.
The Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
Whenever I bring home Entenmann's Little Bites muffins.
Little Bites?
That's right, sweetie. Can you just give Mommy a minute?
I love Little Bites.
I know you do, but we're doing a commercial right now, okay?
Got it.
As I was saying, whenever I bring home you-know-what, you-know-who gets pretty excited. And so do I. Little Bites muffins are made with real ingredients. No high fructose corn syrup and are baked moist and delicious.
I love Little Bites.
There you go.
Yes.
Entenmann's Little Bites muffins. The perfect portion of happiness.
Hey, Braves fans, the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel are bringing you Braves Baseball all season long. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and I'll be bringing you Braves Baseball play-by-play for the Braves fans out there, for all of Braves Country. So pull up an armchair and join us for Braves Country Baseball, first pitch to last pitch, Tuesday and Friday nights, right here on the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel. Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE.
Oh, let's not go to the World Series without Stillwell's toys!
Can you send my baseball?
Sure. There.
Wow. Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. Wow.
That's good advice.
Since August, running hot, running cold, and 30 friends are on alert, that's all the den will hold. Cause he's the armchair quarterback, he's full of beer and he's full of snacks.
Welcome back,
man.
Mets are pounding the Rays in St. Petersburg, 11-2. I saw Max Scherzer was pitching on the mound. I'd just gotten home from work. I didn't see who Tampa had pitching. I did see, man, Pete Alonso got a hold of one. He knocked that thing into deep the deepest part of center field. And, I mean, it just – I didn't see where they ever said how far it went, but that thing had to have been 450 feet. And he absolutely just blasted that ball. Opening days, 6 days away. Are you excited, Bobby?
Not a big baseball guy, but I might tune in here and there.
What is wrong with you, man?
Sorry, man. I just haven't been able to get into it.
You're just dropping the ball everywhere.
It's not my thing.
So you'd rather waste 45 minutes waiting to watch free throws at the end of the game than watch an actual sporting event?
To be honest, yes.
Speaking of something that could be just duller than dishwater, Miami leads Villanova 51-33. And I don't know. I'm going to assume this is the NCAA tournament. I have no idea. They don't have it on the screen. I have it over there for the bottom line to see if anything's ever breaking, but was about to change it, but then I was like, these are those girls on TikTok that keep everything. I want to see if they do something goofy and, you know, try to go viral. It's funny how they've tried to cram what few people are at the tournament down into the stands. Cause when they do show the camera at court level, it kind of pans up and you see how empty the place really is. Last night I was surprised at the game that was, I guess both games, really the early games, of how empty it was. And I get that the one in Madison Square Garden was Kansas State and Michigan State, and realistically, that's a long drive, long flight for anybody who's from those areas. But it is Madison Square Garden in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand they started at 6:30 Eastern. That's probably a problem trying to get through New York traffic. But, man, you would think if you're going to go to one of those games, you would go to both of them.
Yeah.
Because you start see people start piling in when Tennessee and FAU were getting closer. And I'm thinking, for folks who have never been to one of these events, when you buy a ticket, you get to see both games. You don't buy just for one game or the other. You get to see both games. I don't understand why you would not go see the early game.
Well, it doesn't make sense. Also, the first game was better, I'd say. Went to overtime. So.
Yeah. But Tennessee was dominating their game, and then they just fell apart in the second half.
And went cold.
From what I saw of it, FAU was able to get out and run, and that absolutely just killed Tennessee. I'll tell you something else that kills Tennessee. Is it as good as their defense is, and they've played great defense? Man, they just don't have consistent scores.
No.
So just Brick City. And FAU moves on, and even though I know they're a lower seed, they're not a big name, they're an exciting team, and it should make for a very fun Saturday.
Yeah. Well, and I know they're a 9 seed, but they should have been seeded higher in my mind since they were 31-3, I think it was. It doesn't make much sense for them to be that low, but they've played much higher than their seed.
I can't even begin to tell you why they would be a 9 seed.
Yeah.
They were top 25 the majority of the year. Shouldn't that, just by logic, shouldn't that put you at least at a 6 or 7 seed? Just logically.
Yeah, mathematically, yeah, absolutely.
At the worst, a 7 seed, and you'd be the first 7 seed if you're the top 25 team in the country.
Yeah.
But you should at least be, they should have been a 6 seed. It's just 5 seed at the worst. But it's worked out for them, so they march on tonight. We got some good'uns. Now, 6:30, maybe not so much. Alabama versus San Diego State. San Diego State's getting 7.5 points. But I'm going to caution people on this. I know Alabama's been rolling. But there's something that goes on in this game that I think a lot of, like, your average basketball fans probably don't pay attention to. Alabama does not do very well on the glass.
Mm-hmm.
That is what San Diego State has built their team around this year. So, there's a good chance even with all the talent that Alabama has, San Diego State's going to get a lot of second chance opportunities. Alabama will not. And that usually is a perfect scenario for an upset, or at least a heck of a close ball game. I think that 7.5 is extremely high.
Yeah, if you can get a combination of controlling the boards and then getting hot, they can't be missing shots. If they can, you know, knock down their shots, I see a possibility for an upset. But honestly, if I had to make a call for this game, I'm going to take Bama. But I do like San Diego State cover.
Yeah, and the same thing. I don't think Miami should be 7.5 points under a 7.5 point underdog as well. I can tell you one of my favorite plays today is taking Miami and San Diego State in a two-team teaser and bumping both of their totals to 11.5.
I like that.
All of these games, I think, are incredibly high, except for the Texas Xavier game. I believe Texas is going to roll them. But Princeton getting 10 points, 10.5 on some boards. That's a big, big number to cover. I get the Creighton can shoot lights out, and I understand that, you know, they can get on a roll, but Princeton is a very difficult team to deal with.
Yeah, and especially given, I think Creighton's a 6 seed, right?
What's that?
I think Creighton's a 6 seed, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
given a 6 seed that many points this late in the tournament, or given, you know, or taken away, I guess, that many points, that's a little bit questionable.
And Princeton has just, and this isn't your father's Princeton team. I know a lot of older folks will remember when Princeton would put scares into folks years and years ago, but they used to run a four-corner type offense, run a lot of back screens, and they would literally – now, this is back when the shot clock was 45 seconds, and they would wind it down to the very end and then take their shot. And they were doing that to shorten the game, and they were very successful, almost had some incredible upsets. They were the first one that really scared a number one seed as a 16 seed. Now, this is a different team. This team, very good shooting from the perimeter. They move off the ball very well. Creighton's obviously going to have better athletes, but, man, that's a lot of points to give up.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind taking Princeton on the points there.
Yeah, that's a – man. I'll talk about in the next segment. We have an announcement to make on something that we're adding to Armchair Quarterbacks Radio. But by the way, they are blowing them out, and you don't see this much in women's basketball. What little I've watched over the years, the high seeds usually are dominant. Miami happens to be a 9 seed. Villanova is a 4 seed. Typically, there's the haves and have-nots in women college basketball, and the high seeds dominate, and they always have. That's why UConn and Tennessee have just a litany of championships, and you don't get a lot of stories like Princeton, right? But today, the number 9 seed is winning by 21 points.
Wow.
And I thought it was later in the game, but then I just realized, once again, they play with quarters and not halves. So, 17 minutes left, but that's a lot of points in women's college basketball to be winning by. So Miami's going to march on. Miami tonight, Houston, who do you like in that game?
I like Houston, and I'm not as confident in the Miami men's team. I think they're better right now. They're the 1 seed. I'm sticking with the 1 seeds tonight. They're rolling. They're one of the best teams in the country. I think they get it done. Miami's impressed me, though. They went farther than I expected with what they're dealing with. But I got Houston ending that tonight.
And they cover?
I don't want to get too confident in Houston.
Covering is all the only thing that counts. Anybody can sit here and tell me that a high seed's going to win.
All right. I'm going with the favorite in this one. Give me Houston to cover, too.
I think Miami's got a decent shot because not just to cover, but maybe even pull off the upset, but I definitely like them to cover. They are fundamentally sound. And as long as they're hitting their shots, they've got a chance against Houston. And remember, you know, Houston comes in here a little limped up, a little banged up.
I know their best player is a little hurt.
Yeah, if they played this game a month ago, I would say Houston would roll them.
Yeah.
But neutral side as well, I don't even remember where is that neutral side at? Let me have to pull this up here in a second. Of course they don't have it listed. Any other time, it's all over the place. But they're playing. Well, whatever. They're playing in that game's on CB. Speaking, I was about to say this game's on CBS, right? And you got games on TBS and CBS.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it was last time. Assuming that's what's going on tonight. Is there another game it's? I would think they picked that. It's TBS tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think about this at the time. We talk about streaming and streaming, whether you want to go to YouTube TV, Fubo, all that junk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last night I get a text from Justin, who's here on the Wednesday shows, and he's raising Cain about not having TBS. He'd just gotten Fubo TV, and I was like, "What?" I was like, "Well, what in the world's on TBS?" I didn't even think about it. He goes, "The Tennessee game." He's a big Tennessee guy. I go, "Oof, that's a problem, man. That's a big problem." And he this guy is about as cheap as they come, and he was always trying to prevent from buying any kind of streaming device at all, service at all. So he always tried to punt. So he finally goes and breaks it down because the Braves season's coming up. He's like, I'm biting the bullet. I'm going to get it. And then he can't even get the darn basketball game.
His own team too. That's
I said I was getting rid of YouTube. I'm sticking with them at least for a couple of months because Fubo, who tells you, oh, you can watch live sports and all that junk, all those terrible commercials.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. They don't have TBS, which, by the way, has Major League Baseball once a week during the season. They're covering the tournament right now, and they don't have TNT. Mm. What are you going to do NBA and NHL playoffs with no TNT?
Yeah, that's rough. And you're missing out on Inside the NBA.
Well, that too, yeah. But I'm talking about from the just strictly watching games.
Games, yeah.
All that Inside the NBA, man, I catch more of that stuff on social media than I catch anywhere else. I guess it's just because I've liked so many of their videos.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go an entire day with not seeing Charles Barkley ticking off Shaq in Inside the NBA. Shaq's like, I'm going to beat you up.
How many rings you got, Chuck?
And Charles is always going, you know, he'll start laughing, keep poking the bear. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. Tones is on his way. When we come back, we're going to talk some cool games and give you some locks here on the second hour. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and...
Whoops. Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. Day two of the Sweet 16 heading into Friday night. We'll get the updated lines and go over our predictions during the show with Princeton in action, Alabama squaring off against San Diego State, and the number one seeded Houston Cougars are in Kansas City, as well as the Texas Longhorns. On the NBA hardwood, NBA TV, 7 Eastern brings you Celtics versus Pacers. The second part of their doubleheader should be a great one in San Francisco as the 76ers battle the Warriors. Other games of interest around the NBA, Thunder at Lakers at 10:30, Bucks and Jazz at 9, and the Bulls at the Trailblazers at 10. Grapefruit League action has the Boston Red Sox hosting the Atlanta Braves tonight in Fort Myers. That game begins at 6:05 in Fort Myers at Fenway South. Games going on right now. Mets versus Rays, Twins and Yankees, the White Sox battling the A's out in the Cactus League, along with Brewers at Dodgers, Giants at Royals, and the Cubs are hosting the Rangers. And on the ice tonight, right here on the Key, the Columbus River Dragons are at the Delaware Thunder, 7 o'clock Eastern, Air Force Heating and Air pregame show. The puck drops at 7:30. In the NHL, you got the Islanders at the Jackets, Devils at Sabres, and the Coyotes are at the Avalanche. Philadelphia Phillies president Dave Dombrowski on Friday said it's clear that the first baseman Rhys Hoskins has torn a left ACL and is expected to be out for the remainder of the season, but that the slugger will seek a second opinion. Quote, he will need to have surgery. I would be shocked if he doesn't, and that will put him out for the season. That's what we are planning at this point. Hoskins, who hit 30 home runs, 79 RBI, suffered the injury while fielding a grounder in spring training on Thursday. He's due to be a free agent at the end of the 2023 season. Carolina Panthers, who were evaluating quarterback Will Levis at Kentucky's Pro Day on Friday, will also be adding wide receiver depth. The Panthers agreed to a deal with former Detroit Lion, former Jacksonville Jaguar wide receiver DJ Chark. Chark will pair up with veteran free agent Adam Thielen, who recently got a three-year deal. And eight former Cy Young winners are scheduled to start opening day next Thursday. The names include Sandy Alcantara of the Miami Marlins, three-time honoree Max Scherzer of the New York Mets, who will be facing Miami in South Florida. The slate also features two-time winner Jacob deGrom of the Texas Rangers, Philadelphia Phillies ace Aaron Nola, and the list goes on. Angels will have Shohei Ohtani on the mound, as well as the Yankees and Giants squaring off with Garrett Cole versus Logan Webb. Framber Valdez of Houston will be at home against the Chicago White Sox. Shane Bieber traveling to Seattle to face Luis Castillo. Los Angeles Dodgers' Julio Urias will go up against Arizona's Zach Gallen. Corbin Burns will face off with the Cubs' Marcus Stroman. Blake Snell gets the nod for the San Diego Padres in Petco Park versus Colorado's German Marquez. And two-time Cy Young winner Corey Kluber will be hosting Baltimore's Kyle Gibson. Zach Greinke will make his third opening day start for the Kansas City Royals. And he'll go head-to-head with the Minnesota Twins' ex-Marlin Pablo Lopez. And the Atlanta Braves have announced it's official, Max Fried in Washington to face the Nationals and Patrick Corbin. We'll have the game live right here, 105 Eastern, first pitch on Thursday. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com/Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Thursday, March 30th, it's opening day in Braves country. The Atlanta Braves travel to the Washington Nationals. First pitch, 105 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all season long, and it begins opening day. Make sure to tune in right here, Thursday, March 30th, 105 Eastern, opening day in Braves country on Braves Country HD.
I'm sure of it.
I hate him.
He's drunk.
And vino veritas.
I Jake Woodagis.
Come on, boys. We don't want any trouble in here, not in any language.
Us Latin, doll. Evidently, Mr. Ringo's an educated man. How I really hate him.
Are you listening?
Welcome back. Braves Country, welcoming on to the broadcast, joining Bobby and I is Mr. Tampa Jones. Tampa, how are you on this TGI Friday?
Doing great, brother. I see a little new camera angle action, always different and exciting. I'm doing great talking sports with the fellas. Though it's Friday, we got a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do. March Madness is it's still holding steady. That Alabama line is still holding steady at 7.5. I really like San Diego State in the points tonight. I'm telling you, that's a dangerous, dangerous line to give up. And the only thing I'll say to counter would be Alabama has looked really good. So that's going to be difficult, but bigger giants have fallen in these tournaments and they better be careful. That's all I know.
Yeah, that San Diego State team has a tremendous defense. They have the opportunity to stifle Alabama's offense. We'll see if they could.
All right, well, let's get into what we do here on Fridays as we get into Cool Games. On Cool Games, basically the one stipulation, it's a game that you would watch start to finish. You wouldn't even think about missing it. And when it's this time of the season, I'll let the guys pick. When we get towards football season, it's more of a vote. But this type of the year, it's more of a what games have got you. And the thing is, so you got the four games tonight. You've got two tomorrow and two Sunday. And then you do have other sports going on, so they say. But, I mean, to me, it's really March Madness or nothing. March Madness or bust this weekend. Man, there is nothing on Saturday afternoon. Unless you're going to watch like spring training games. But the problem is some of these spring training games, A, a lot of them aren't being broadcasted. And B, teams are starting to get ready to depart. So not all your starters are necessarily going to play for each team.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that takes me out of the betting element immediately. I am not betting on spring training baseball ever, but if I ever thought about it, tomorrow, Braves are in a split squad scrimmage. They're hosting the Twins. They're traveling to the Twins. And Max Fried's going to pitch at home. Kyle Wright's going to pitch on the road. Most likely, if you do find a line, you really want to take it. Most likely, the Braves will have their home team. The Braves will have their starters playing at home. And then the scrubs will be on the bus heading to the Minnesota Twins Stadium. So there is that. If you ever wanted to make a little money on spring training baseball, if you see a split squad, realize most teams do this nowadays. The veterans, the better players, they play at home. And the rookies and guys who aren't going to make the team, they take the bus. Which, you know, makes sense.
But mm-hmm.
Just a little food for thought for folks who might be out there, you know, as opposed to checking themselves into some kind of facility that they want to make one last bet before they admit that there's a problem. I'm sorry, man. Spring training baseball. You're bent on that. You've got major, major issues.
Yeah, that's
last fall going into football season. And buddies of mine asking me, you know, if they should take such and such preseason NFL game. I was like, have you lost your brain, man? Like, what are you betting on that for?
If you do bet on it, you better be taking the underdog money line at the very least in a game like that.
Mm-hmm.
See, the fact you're even thinking about that tells me that maybe we need to get you into a facility, man. Get you checked away. Make sure that you're not going to be a little addiction going on there.
Hey, when there's opportunities to make money, you know, there's money to be made.
There's no opportunities for you to lose money at that
situation. Yeah, I can't bet preseason. I can't, you know, I can't even do all-star games most of the time just because it is such a coin flip. Same way all-star activities and whatnot. But again, if you do, not saying you should, but if you do, go with the underdog money line.
I guess. I don't. I have nothing to respond with that other than,
What is the line? What's the line in the Hall of Fame game this year? Let's take a look at it.
There might be one out there right now. No, I don't know. But crazy, man. If you're betting on preseason, come on. Godspeed.
We're only 5 months away from kickoff. Come on. Let's put some scratch in it.
Have you seen the injury report for the game yet?
Not yet. I've got alerts set up on my phone. All right. Cool games. I don't even know who's in it this year. Hall of Fame, it's usually got to do with who's going to be in the they may not have even announced it, but as far as the NFL Hall of Fame, I don't pay attention. The only Hall of Fame I really pay attention to is the baseball because it's the only one that really, you know, is a real Hall of Fame. But
I do have an answer for who will be in it real quick, the Browns and the Jets.
Yep, August 3rd.
Because the Jets have some guys going in, don't they? I think yep. I heard that.
Reeves, and I think Joe Thomas is going in for the Browns as well.
Mm-hmm.
Has he been out of the league for 5 years already? Jeez.
And Darrell Revis is going in yep. for the Jets, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, Joe Thomas, I mean, if you put a picture of him 5 years ago up to a picture of him now, it's like a Khloe Kardashian transformation. It's, you know, night and day difference. You wouldn't even be able to tell.
The class of 2023 for the NFL Hall of Fame.
Rondé.
I mean, this is why I don't get into the NFL Hall of Fame. This is the hall of pretty darn good. Listen to this. Rondé Barber. Don Coryell, I get. I mean, that's overdue, to be honest. Chuck Howley. Joe Klecko. Darrell Revis, Ken Riley, Joe Thomas, Zach Thomas, and DeMarcus Ware.
I'd say Ware Barber and Joe Thomas are at least as and Revis maybe
and Revis,
you can make the argument for Revis as well. The others are very questionable.
I'm definitely cool with Revis being in there. I'd say top three corner ever.
What?
Yeah.
Maybe in your lifetime, pal, but that is not.
I mean, Deion's one. We know Deion's one. Who do you have at 2 and 3?
I mean, you'd have to give me time to actually come together with a list. But the thing about Revis is that he petered out towards the end of his career. He was.
That's a little lot of hat. That's what happened.
Revis Island was more like a weekend getaway. That's what Revis Island was.
Come on, you're a legend, man. He deserves that Hall of Fame spot.
No, because it would maybe Hall of Fame because NFL Hall of Fame is so weak, but to say that no, because by the time he left the Jets, he was meh. Can we at least agree with that?
I don't know, he had a really good year or two in New England,
Patriots, and, yeah,
you know,
he was not on that. He was on a couple of good teams or on one good team in New England. He only played 1 year. I know Tones is going to defend him because he played for the Bucks for 14 minutes. And you know, that
I'm not even happy. Eventually. I mean, we got Revis for 1 year, gave him mm-hmm. all that money and we gave up all the draft picks. You know, if I'm arguing for anyone, I think Rondé Barber is very deserving with his uniqueness to the game. 3-time first-team All-Pro, Super Bowl champion, had the most sacks ever for a defensive back. Although I love Revis, I think Barber is a more unique prototype.
Okay.
Well, shocking, yes. You would say that.
I mean, he is unique.
Yeah, I won't argue that.
I mean, Revis made 7 Pro Bowls. Okay, that's really good, but that's not
nice. I mean, it's so common for cornerbacks to start falling off, though, when they hit that age. So I'm not going to fault them for it too much. Once a cornerback loses that speed, it's just not top
3 of all time. Cornerback? No.
All right, maybe I'm stretching it. But
I mean, I might not agree, but you can make the argument. You can make the argument.
He's up there. I might be stretching it with top 3, but he's certainly up there.
You know what? This gives me an idea for next week. And
top 3 corners?
No, I'll tell you. I'll send it to you off here next Friday when you have time to prepare for it. It's something we did a long time ago, but we're going to bring it back next week. All right. Let's get into the cool games real quick before we run out of time here on Bobby. Bobby, give me your first cool game of the weekend.
My first cool game is one of the matchups for tomorrow. I got UConn and Gonzaga at 8:50 Eastern time on TBS. Gonzaga, they had a crazy game against UCLA. The last two games they've had against UCLA have been crazy. And they're going up against 4-seed UConn, who looks really good. They crushed Arkansas. So I'm expecting a good matchup here. 4 versus 3-seed, UConn and Gonzaga.
All right, Tones, give me your first cool game of the weekend.
UConn-Gonzaga, hard to top that one. I'm going to stick with tonight, though. I'm going to go with Miami-Houston. Houston's had an incredible year this year, one of the better teams in college basketball. And Miami, they made a deep run last year, very unexpected. Got a little overlooked coming into the tournament this year as well, given their epic fails seemingly year after year in college sports. But they do look good. They handled Indiana pretty dang good. Houston's been struggling a little bit. They've been winning a couple close games to this point. Very intrigued tonight to see if Miami can not only stay close with Houston, but perhaps take down another one seed in the tournament.
I'm going to stay on that vibe, but I'm going to take it to a different level. I'm going to assume Houston punches their ticket. Texas punches their ticket tonight. And my first cool game is Sunday, Texas versus Houston, the battle of the Lone Star State. That is a great game. And if we get it, if not, then, you know, whatever. It's me, Miami and Xavier, you know, don't even turn on the TV. But if it's Houston and Texas, that should be a great one. Bobby, what's your next one?
You know, I like the idea of a Houston-Texas game, 1 versus 2 seed, battle of Texas teams. But my last cool game, I have Xavier versus Texas tonight. I can see Texas winning, so I'm not going to count them out. But I think this is going to be one of the closer games of the four tonight. You got a 2 and a 3 seed squaring off. So I think it's going to be a good one. And it's a good way to cap off the Sweet 16.
Tones, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going with a battle of two teams coming into the season. Not many had pegged making it this far. Florida Atlantic is one of two Florida teams left, and they're playing Kansas State. Kansas State came into the year expected and projected to rank last in the Big 12, and this is why I don't think we should have rankings in college basketball or college football until at least a couple weeks into the season, because they're widely wrong.
Yeah, get over it, dude. We're always going to have rankings because the rankings get you to watch the games.
Right, but it's useless and irrelevant until the second or third week of the year.
And watch the XFL where no one should be ranked.
I mean, that's a completely different story. You're still going to watch Alabama football week one if they're not ranked, or if they're ranked 2 or 3. Come on, that's foolish and ridiculous.
I'm telling you right now, man, it would kill the hype. It would kill everything going, because it's
not really NFL. Not at all to me.
Yeah, it is. It is, because it's different in the NFL where you only have 32 teams. When you have 130 teams in Division I college football, the only way to create preseason hype is the rankings. And I get the logic what you're saying, but I'm telling you, it's never going to happen. From the marketing side of it, they're never going to get rid of it.
Right, but my point is they're just dumb, and you shouldn't even pay attention to them until week two or three. You
don't have to pay attention to them.
Because look at this year. North Carolina was ranked 1. They didn't even make the tournament. Miami, I think, was ranked 6 or 7 in college football. They were more of the laughable teams. Again, it's cute. You could say it's purposeful and meaningful, but it's pretty irrelevant in theory.
To a theory, but someone who like lives, eat, and breathes sports like you do, okay, fair enough, whatever. But you're going to watch the games no matter what. But correct. Your average Joe, he's going to go, I don't know, man, why do I care about Mississippi State versus Kentucky? Oh, they're both ranked? Oh,
that's a good point.
I'm telling you, that is the average Joe's thought process. Bobby, what is your walk-off?
My walk-off is enjoy the end of the Sweet 16 and everything that comes for the what's left of the tournament. This is fun. Best postseason sports, so make the most of it. And I'll see you guys next week.
I'll hit my cool game on the other side of the break, the last cool game. It's one that Tones is going to laugh at, but I don't care. It's going to be my cool game. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD.
Hey.
Hey, sports fans. The Key has a brand new show. Braves Country is coming your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We'll be talking the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball, along with everything important to sports fans in Braves Country. The SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and the National Football League, and the big sports news of the day. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on WQEE The Key, 99.1 FM, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country.
That's the sound of NyQuil Severe hard at work. NyQuil Severe is the best sleep with a cold medicine. No tossing and turning, just rest and recovery. So you're ready to take on tomorrow. For powerful relief of your worst cold and flu symptoms, try NyQuil Severe. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, best sleep with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hey, Braves fans, the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel are bringing you Braves Baseball all season long. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and I'll be bringing you Braves Baseball play-by-play for the Braves fans out there, for all of Braves Country. So pull up an armchair and join us for Braves Country Baseball, first pitch to last pitch, Tuesday and Friday nights, right here on the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel. Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE.
Welcome back. Taking you all the way to the 5 o'clock hour. Remember tonight, you got River Dragons hockey right here on WQEE. And Mr. Tones, are you ready for my last school game?
I'm ready. I'm here and I'm ready to hear it. Let's hear what you got, brother.
So this is can only be a cool game if you are an Atlanta Braves baseball fan. And I will say that now. If you're not an Atlanta Braves baseball fan, I'm not going to try to sell you on this game. Mm-hmm. But pretty sure it's being broadcasted tonight, is it not? I'm almost positive it is. I'm on site that doesn't tell you very well if games are broadcasted. But, yes, it is. I think it's being on – it's going to be on MLB.com. It's showing here it's the free game of the day, so it doesn't matter. You go to MLB.com and watch it.
Cool.
What makes this game important, and I know a preseason game, this is important, not the outcome. The outcome is not going to matter. I'm not telling you to bet on the game. Don't bet on the game. Don't lose your brain. But yesterday we did the game, and Jared Schuster pitched well. He's pitched well all spring and has a very good chance of grabbing that number five spot in the rotation. Dylan Dodd pitches tonight. And he has a very good chance of making the rotation. And there's also a line of thinking that Kyle Wright might be slow to the party this year. He might miss a start or two. And you might be looking at both of these guys making the rotation for the early part of the year. It doesn't mean they're going to stay there because they're building Soroka up. Soroka pitched for the first time in 700 moons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he pitched the other day, winning an inning and two thirds. So do the math. If you think about it, we're talking about a month away from him starting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Dodd, 0.69 ERA this year in spring training. Spring training, I get it. Who cares? His whip is 0.69. 13 innings and 15 strikeouts. This kid's been pitching. I've not had a chance to watch him for any. I've seen highlights and that's it. I'm sitting and I'm watching this game tonight, and that's why it's my cool game. It's got nothing to do with who wins. It's because he's got a real chance of making it. And he's another guy that the Braves drafted out of college
and so they got him in the 2021 draft. He was third round pick out of Southeast Missouri State.
And I mean, that's the beauty of cool games, right? When you pick them, as long as you qualify it as a cool game, that's the intention. What are your cool games? I love it.
Not necessarily.
Well, for us, sometimes, you know.
Some of the games y'all give me as cool games, I'm like, yeah, not so much. And the reason why I bring up the fact that he's an ex-college player, a lot of your teams draft kids out of high school, right? And they say, hey, we're going to develop them. Okay, and I get that philosophy. You want them to build through your farm system and your teaching and not have to remold someone who comes out of college. But what the Braves have been doing is they have been hitting on guys who are experienced in college. Schuster, another example, 2020 draft. The same draft that Spencer Strider came out of. And remember, that was only a 5-player draft, remember, because of COVID? Mm-hmm. Or, excuse me, 5-round draft? He comes out of Wake Forest. If you remember, the reason why they got lucky on Strider, Strider's coming off of Tommy John surgery. He didn't even play. But he came out of Clemson. That tells me something, if nothing else. I don't know much, but I know one thing, Tones. The Braves have a hell of a scout in the ACC. That's all I can tell you, especially when it comes to pitching.
Yeah, and they're just so...
Oh, my God.
They're so good with their young pitching, working with them. I mean, they get these guys out of the woodworks, right? They're good prospects, but they're not over-the-top prospects that you hear about. Then they get to the Braves, and you're like, these are some of the more polished young pitchers in the game. They just do a tremendous job developing these young cats. And, you know, they have the same spot to grab them.
I don't mean to cut you off, but for the first time ever in Armchair Quarterback Radio here on Braves Country, we've got breaking news in women's college basketball. If you were listening in this last hour, I was telling Bobby how Miami was pounding Villanova. And the game was essentially over. They were up by like 20 with like 7 minutes left in the third. There's 6 minutes left in the game. Villanova's down by one, and you never see this in women's basketball. They never make these long runs like this.
No.
That's crazy.
Correct. That is. They never make those long runs.
I mean, usually, like, the shooting isn't as good, but then the other thing is they're dealing with a much taller rim comparatively. So there's not dunking and all that going on, but they've gone on a run. And I think what it must have been, because I'm doing the math in my head, I think Miami's gone ice cold. Because in the last quarter, if my memory serves me correct, Miami scored maybe 6 points, and Villanova has scored 25.
Hmm.
Anyways, we won't keep you updated with that because that game doesn't matter, but... It happens to be on my TV over there, and I haven't changed it. And I'm like, wait, in the world, what is going on over here?
Hey, sometimes all sports produce great moments. It seems like we have one on our hands right here.
And as our ratings go in the tank, into the tank, because we're talking about women's college basketball in the middle of the Friday afternoon. what do we got next up on our doc? Let's talk some baseball. Sorry, I got it backwards. I was like, what am I looking at? All right. So we went and talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show. You have not been on, but there have been some major injuries in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And very few have come from the World Baseball Classic. So for folks who are wanting to shut down the Classic, but yet for some reason keep Olympic hockey around, you know, whatever. Same exact scenario. Two exhibitions that people are doing for Pride of Country. And yes, yeah, you know you're watching a sport when there's a possibility of injury.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when, like, ESPN has darts on TV, I'm like, what? That's not a sport. How are you going to get injured playing darts? Unless, like, some idiot, like, uses it as a weapon.
Dart fight.
Yeah, exactly. We used to do that when I was younger. We'd be in bars. We'd throw them at each other's feet.
poop, poop, poop.
We had one buddy jump in front of a dartboard one night, and he was three sheets to the wind. He was trying to impress the girls that were around, and he did his best Tricky Dick Richard Nixon impression, and he got up and goes, "I am not a crook." And his brother threw the dart, and if that dart didn't go into his finger and jam him up against the board.
Oh, my Lord. That just sounds painful.
We were all roommates at the time around this bar, and I hit the floor just dying laughing. He's like screaming, trying to get the freaking dart out of his finger and off the board. And so there's four roommates, two of them throwing darts at each other, and there's me and our fourth roommate, and he and I are on the floor rolling around laughing, staring. You know, we can see each other. We can't make a sound because we're laughing so darn hard. These two idiots just threw darts at each other.
Dart fight. Oh, that sounds fun, but painful. Perhaps painful, at least, for some.
The guy that got hit, they were brothers. The guy that got hit, just the other goes, "The first time in your entire life you've ever hit anything."
Oh man, just so first happens place, to be
I've been motivated.
Emergency room trip incoming.
He's like, "Well man, it's not my fault. I was seeing double, so I aimed for the middle and you actually happened to be in the middle."
Oh, I couldn't tell if that was really you or just my vision.
That kind of brings up something. Well, I'll talk about it as my walk off. So the injuries that are going on in Major League Baseball, if you're handicapping, and Tones, I'm going to go ahead and give you a heads up. Next week, opening day, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're always here on Mondays and Fridays, right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously by Friday, the season will have started. Monday, we're going to get your Major League Baseball predictions.
Awesome.
That's pretty much it, man, because by the time we get done talking about March Madness and whatnot, it'll be Cy Young's, MVPs, and who's going to win divisions and World Series kind of stuff. So we're going to do all that leading up to opening day. But looking at this, man, I mean, this really changes what you – the Phillies are now losing Rhys Hoskins for – they're saying the year right now they're going to get a second opinion, but we'll just assume the first. It seems like the first opinion is always the right opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean in general. I just mean in sports. You very rarely does a doctor come back and go, "No, he's fine. He'll be there for opening day." I don't know what he's talking about, this torn ACL nonsense.
Right. Like you said, especially in sports, very common.
I don't know if Hoskins is hoping that there's another diagnosis where he doesn't have to have surgery and he can somehow play at some point in the year. Because here's the problem with Hoskins, but he's got to take this into consideration long term. He is a free agent at the end of the year.
Mm.
So, yeah, that would be great to go out there and play for your team, et cetera, and try to find a way to get back by the end of the season. But what if you do more damage and then you're not able to play at all next year? And you know, if you come back injured on a torn ACL, you're not going to be very good.
Mm-mm.
So you play poorly at the end of the year. You end up having another surgery to miss the entire 2024. By 2025 comes around, you're an afterthought. You're playing on a Michael Conforto type of contract.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was going to bring up Conforto exactly. That's a great point.
So that's... I don't think anything's going to change. I think Hoskins is going to get the surgery. Guarantee his agent's going to go, "What are you, nuts? Get the surgery. Let's go. Let's come on. Let's not even wait. Let's do it now."
Yeah, unless the Phillies tried to, pepper him with an offer. I don't see it happening, though. So, yeah, I see what you're saying completely playing out.
Now, granted, Dombrowski says, "Hey, we want you to try to make it." And he says, "Well, you can get me a 6-year deal and you got a deal. Give me a deal where I don't have to worry about anything else again, and I'll try and let go."
Yeah, which is Hoskins worth it? I mean, he's a nice player, don't get me wrong, a good player, but the Phillies and him might, Phillies have a lot of big money tied up right now. Castellanos, Schwarber, Trey Turner. I'm not quite sure they could afford Hoskins next offseason.
Probably not. That's why he needs to have the surgery and be ready for next year.
Mm-hmm.
But you got him. Of course, Harper is hurt. He's starting to take some dry swings. But other than that, Bryce Harper is not expected to be back till after the All-Star break. Maybe before, but it'll be in a DH role. Then you've got Rodon for the Yankees that is going to be delayed. Diaz is done for the season for the Mets. They are saying, I did see an update today. It looks like Brandon Nimmo will be ready to go for opening day.
Mm.
He played in a minor league game last night. So that surprised me because yesterday when I did the Braves-Mets game and I didn't see him, I just assumed, well, he still isn't playing yet. There's no way he's going to be ready for the regular season. But he played yesterday afternoon or last night. I saw the update and they said that there's optimism that he can make it to opening day.
And now they're saying as well that Philly starter Ranger Suarez had a setback and he's set to miss opening day as well.
Yeah, he has battled injury all offseason, and they're all minor, but they're all perfectly put by you setbacks. And it's not as bad as what we went through with Soroka the last couple of years, but it does sound like it's something that's lingering and he may have to get something done about it.
For sure. I mean, it's just, if you're a Phillies fan, you're lucky there's 162 games because right now you look around at that roster, it is a little bit banged up.
What you're really happy about, if you're a Phillies fan, is that there's three wild cards, you know? Because if this was a few years ago and there was just the two wild cards, that's dicey. That's dicey.
For all the money you're spending. Yeah, and the Phillies are one of those interesting teams, too, where they have a lot of money locked up into, you know, guys like Castellanos and guys like Real Muto. You know, not to say they're bad players, but
I just saw... This is why they can't sell the sport. I just saw a fast break opportunity by Miami going to the basket, and nobody affected this play, right? This is all her own doing. In a guy's game, he would have went up and attempted a layup, whatnot. She did have a defender in front of her, but this is not what caused it. She goes to get towards the paint. She dribbles the ball off her knee. Just looking around. Then she just starts laughing. Everyone's laughing. I'm like, this is why no one's watching your sport, because not even you take it seriously. You just blew an opportunity to, I guess they would have went up by two possessions had she hit it. But anyways. Yeah.
And I don't know how the NCAA women's tournament even works for home games. Sometimes I see that, you know, the one of the teams is home. Sometimes I see them playing in a neutral site.
I don't know if it's changed, but what it used to be was that, like, the first round was home because they just didn't have the ability to get people to. So this looks like it's on a neutral site. Greensboro. Yeah. So this is on a neutral site. But I didn't watch the first round. This is honestly the only game I've even seen in my side view. So usually what happens, the first and maybe even the second round are the higher seed hosts. And then when you get to the Sweet 16, I know the Final Four is definitely on a neutral site. Because if you remember a few years ago, that was the whole stink about the fact that the women's and men's Final Four was in the same area, in the same city, and they showed the men's workout facility, and then they showed the women's workout facility. It was like one dumbbell in the corner. It's like one dumbbell and like two towels. It was like all over TikTok, and I remember laughing, going, I'm actually surprised that they could afford that considering the, you know, the viewership, but it was pretty bad.
I remember that. And, you know, it sucks and it's unfortunate, but, you know, views pay for the product. And if you're not getting views,
I know, that's how I look nowadays. They just want everybody to pay for everything. Now everyone gets everything. Just like the WNBA wants chartered flights, even though they have lost millions over the last 25 years. And they are complaining wanting charter flights. And there are these dopes on ESPN who just stand there and really just sit there and go, I don't understand. I don't understand why they don't have charter flights. And even the level-headed ones on ESPN have sat there and just smile and nod. You know what they're thinking. They're thinking, really? You don't understand why a league that has lost millions every year? It is subsidized by the owners of the NBA because what they want, they don't care about ever making money off that league. All they care about is hopefully bringing some fans in to men's NBA and buying jerseys. That's all they care about.
Mm-hmm. And I view it, honestly, I kind of view it the same with their G League Development League. It's just, they don't care if they make money from it. They just want to appeal to people, try and broaden their fan base a little bit.
Yeah, and the G League's a little different because at least you're developing something to head towards, you know, the big right. league. But yeah, they definitely don't care about that. But anyways, I couldn't help but laugh, man. It's just, I see her go to dribble and I don't know if she's dribbling with her off hand. It looked like she had never dribbled with that hand before. She went, it goes off her knee. It's like, this is for a championship. What are we doing here?
Sports Center, not top 10. Cue the music, please.
I mean, my God, it looks like me out there in the driveway. And I used to play basketball, but I haven't played it in 20 something years. So yeah, I would look like a fool too if I was out there. But I also wouldn't be broadcasting going, hey, y'all check this out. I'm gonna go play Tones in 1-on-1 and I want a chartered flight because no one's watching.
Yeah, send me to Newton, Georgia right now on a flight, and I'll join Braves country and pick a basketball game outside. And you know,
all right, let's do it. We blew on a chartered flight, so we got to get the Atlanta Hawks to pay for it. I'd love to have that conversation.
Hey, I bring that.
Wait, who is this, and what do you want? We want what the WNBA wants. We want to get overpaid and charter flights for no apparent reason.
I'm a staffer for the Chicago Sky.
Neither are they. It could be worse. It could be pickleball. All right, let's take our last break. When we come back, we'll have our locks. You're listening to Braves Country and Braves Country HD wherever you stream.
Let's ride.
Thursday, March 30th, it's opening day in Braves country. The Atlanta Braves travel to the Washington Nationals. First pitch, 1:05 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all season long, and it begins opening day. Make sure to tune in right here, Thursday, March 30th, 1:05 Eastern, opening day in Braves country on Braves Country HD.
He only has 3 rings.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Le'Veon Bell, he put out a single for people to listen to on Twitter of a rap album that he's really proud of. He asked for people to critique it. Keenan Allen, the receiver of the Chargers, came back with the trash emoji.
Appreciate your honesty.
And what's even better, I can't do it justice because we're on radio. You've got to see the video. The video that he put up. Oh, my God. It's like the most funny and exciting thing I have ever seen because it's like really bad late 80s, early 90s rap video. But anyways, the video is the best part of the whole thing. He's got a hoodie on. It's staged almost like black and white. He's like under a bridge somewhere where there's like a bonfire going.
Hard times.
So like, yeah.
Hard times.
You know, hard times for a guy making millions.
He can relate.
But the funniest part is when he's got the hoodie on, he's doing poses and stuff like that and kind of jiving around. And then at a, this is the funniest part, out of nowhere, sorry, I can't get it out. He comes up from under the screen. So in other words, like
his, from the Muppets or something?
Almost like the Muppets.
When you see just the figure just come straight up.
Yes, the gecko comes straight up while he's also in the background. Uh-huh. It's like the worst thing put together for other. I don't know how to edit a video. We could do better than this, I'm telling you.
Who's the director, Pouncy?
Armchair.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee, the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Drive Time on WQEE. Welcome back. Heading towards the top of the hour. Of course, we got River Dragons hockey tonight. And got the March Madness reconvening tonight. You've got pretty good games tonight. I'm going to go ahead and pull up the lines. Tone, let's go ahead and start it off with your lock. What is your lock of the day? I'll give you first draw.
Lock of the day here, and it's tough. You got college hoops on, which is very appealing. So, you know, I know you're probably heading there. I'm actually going to go there as well, so I hope I'm not stepping on your toes here by any means of imagination. But I'm going to go with Miami plus 7.5. I'm not quite sure if Miami has what it takes to win this game, but I'm very comfortable getting the 7.5 points with this Miami college basketball team. I think they're playing pretty dang good ball right now. And again, I do think Houston gets the better of them, but I think it's by less than 8 points. I love Miami getting the 7.5.
Now, I mentioned it earlier. If I was going to take that game, what I would probably do is take – if you do – Alabama, if you do the San Diego State and Miami and you put them on a teaser, you would take both of them to about a 11.5 point line, and that would get you about a -100, -105, somewhere in that neighborhood. And so if I was going to do, I'd do that teaser. Instead, I've got another teaser, and this will pay out 1-to-1. It's a teaser well, it's honestly a parlay, but it's essentially a teaser. I'm taking Texas on the money line and coupling it that with Princeton with getting 5 points, taking the line to 15.5. So Texas to win and Princeton to 15.5, and that is a 1-to-1. So, you know, $10 would pay out actually around $10.20. So that is my lock of the day. I think Texas is going to win. I think that is going to be. I actually, it's strange. It's the lowest. It's the lowest line, and I think they're going to have the easiest time.
And you said Princeton plus 15 in a parlay, correct?
Yeah, Princeton plus 15.5 and Texas on the money line in a parlay gets you a 1-to-1.
Cool. I'm putting it in the chat now.
And I know a lot of experienced bettors don't like parlays, but I don't mind a parlay if I'm doing, especially in basketball, if I'm doing it closer to it being a teaser.
I agree with that. And let's be honest, both of these games are right around the same tip-off area. So, you know, why not?
If I'm getting a decent amount of points, I don't mind being the underdog in a point spread in basketball, but if it's like a 2 or 3 point, for instance, if I really believed in Xavier, I'm probably more likely to take them on the money line than I am to take the point spread, because these games, usually the point spread doesn't help much.
No, but with how minimal they are. Like, I've been taking Kansas State money lines lately because they've been getting 1.5 or 2 points the past couple of games, but might as well take the money line at that point.
Yeah. So, looking at the other games, what is there? I'm assuming there's another UFC fight again this weekend.
There is. There's a UFC fight tomorrow.
Man, they just drain y'all's bank accounts with these fights, don't they?
They usually have about 3 or 4 a month. And some, if you have ESPN Plus, you get most of the fight nights for free, at least. Well, not for free because you're paying for ESPN Plus, but built in with ESPN Plus. The pay-per-views are the sledgehammer over the head. That's $60 a pay-per-view on top of the ESPN Plus.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Are most of these not pay-per-views?
I'd say about 2 out of every 5 are. So, yeah, it's still a lot of money if you're wanting to buy every pay-per-view. It adds up rather quickly. There's about 1 to 2 a month.
That's – they got a racket.
And what happened is why they fight so often now, you know, their rosters
– I know why they're doing it. It's because of money.
Right, and I think – yeah, exactly. They got a bigger roster than they ever expected because of money. And now they have half these guys under contract, half these ladies under contract. They're like, they're just sitting around. We got to put them out there. So some of these fights take place in front of no fans even. It's just complete money thing for ESPN Plus agreements.
Yeah, they this is the reason why I got out of it when it first started years ago. They started doing the pay-per-view 20 years ago. UFC, and people are like, I can't believe you don't watch this. Like, no, I can't believe you fall for this junk and buy it. I just, no. You know, if you live with mommy and daddy, I guess it's okay because, you know, you have extra money in your pocket, or if you're, you know, extremely well off or whatever. But you're talking about, I complain about having to pay close to $100 for streaming packages a month, right? So you're saying that to be a UFC fan, I would have to basically pay $220, $250, maybe $280 sometimes a month for what's coming across the TV. That's ridiculous.
I just go to B-dubs at that point. I have my way, you know.
But you go to B-dubs, I mean, you're going to spend a hot amount there.
There's ways around it. I'll just say that.
What, dine and dash? I'm not gonna back that.
No. Not dine and dash. I mean, there's ways around watching the event without spending so much.
Whatever. I've lived without it this long, and it's really not that entertaining. So, you know. I don't know.
Hey, I will say this. There are a lot of fights on a card that's like, man, was that worth the money? But then you get your 1 to 2 fights every time that it's like, hey, that was entertaining. I know what you mean.
That was the one thing that they outdid boxing in, because boxing is a better sport. But what they did, they were smart about. I still have never seen boxing catch on to this, is that folks got tired of paying pay-per-views and only getting 3 fights. You might get some prelims in the background, but normally you got about 3 fights, and you spend $60-$70. UFC, at least you're getting about 10 bouts. Mm-hmm. Now, they might be a bunch of bozos that no one cares about. It might be really... Who cares? I mean, I guess you might care if you start betting on it, but at least you're getting. Boxing always felt like, no, we need quality over quantity. No, not so much, because if you go out and you get these fights, and this happened a few times in the 90s, there'd be these big hype fights, and then all of a sudden you'd sit down, you're like, let's go, and the dude gets knocked out in the first, second round. You're like, that's it. It's over. Think about UFC. None of them last long. They're only set up for, what, 3 rounds, 5 rounds?
Yeah, non-championship fights are 3 rounds, and then championship fights or main events are 5 rounds.
Right, so if a guy gets dumped in the first round, you don't feel like that you got cheated. So that was what they did, that they boxing never, and it's difficult to ever fix it with boxing, because if a fight goes the whole 9 yards, it's going to go 15 rounds or more like 12 nowadays. But the only other way to get around that is start having much shorter boxing matches. But then it's not as good a sport. It's you kind of cheat the sport. It'd be like playing 2 quarters for a football game.
Now boxing's trying to survive by hiring old athletes or YouTube famous people. So there you go.
Yeah, boxing really spit the bit with Don King. Really screwed up a lot of things with boxing and got to where people didn't trust it. And then the other big thing was you had too many big bouts that did not go the distance or even come close to going the distance. A great boxing match that goes the distance, heavyweight boxing match, goes all 12 rounds or 15 rounds back in the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll still say to this day, there's no better sport on the planet. But the problem is you don't get those. What you do is you put your hard-earned money in, and you go, oh, that's what happened. You just took my money, and the guy got knocked out in 60 seconds.
Yeah, and then you look in your pocket. It's like, I wish I had my money back.
Mike Tyson ruined boxing. There's knocking
too many people out.
He's knocking people out. If he wasn't doing that, then he was getting his butt kicked and chewing people's ears off. So, you know, no matter how you look at it, the fight never lasted.
Is this boxing or Hannibal Lecter?
Exactly. All right. What is your walk-off for the day, sir?
Walk-off for the day is this, brother. March Madness and baseball right around the corner. What a better combo. This is spring, man. Great time of year. Get your fantasy baseball drafts in and all that stuff. Thursday's opening day coming up quick. Make sure you got your baseball fandom and your baseball fever ready to roll.
My walk-off for the day is, we'll have more details on it down the road, but gotten together a couple of the older guys that have been on the show. They just don't have time to do the show anymore. And we are going to start a podcast that is going to be available in different ways, and we haven't figured out all the details yet. But the short of it is, it's different than what we do on The Daily Show, because here on The Daily Show, we're reacting to current events. Constant current events, because you know that's what everybody wants to talk about, right? You know what's going to happen tonight, da 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 da. These are guys that grew up big sports fans. They don't get to watch as much as they used to, but they still love the old game. And what we're gonna do, this got brought up the other day because of the Willis Reed thing. Willis Reed died, and someone brought up in a chat, why is it we only ever, you know, talk about these guys after they're gone? So what we're going to do is it'll be like an hour podcast. It'll probably only be about once a week, probably closer to every 2 weeks, but it's going to come out and we're going to talk about some of the older guys before they're gone. And then also it'll be like kind of like the old Armchair Quarterback Radio, if you ever listen to any of that stuff, where it's a lot of goofiness. And we haven't come up with the name yet, but I've got a couple that I'm floating around. But basically, it's going to be like a, you know, old man radio type thing where, you know, it's for Gen X and beyond, or folks that love history of sports. And so that's the announcement. I'll have more details hopefully by next week.
Sounds amazing to me, brother. And you never know what other shows might be on the horizon.
Well, that's right. All right. Well, we will see everybody Monday. Tones is going to tell us who's going to win the World Series Monday, and we'll be reacting to our brackets getting even more crashed as we'll be looking at the Final Four Monday morning.
Woo!
Monday afternoon. We'll see you live 3 to 5. Bye.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Thursday, March 30th, it's opening day in Braves country. The Atlanta Braves travel to the Washington Nationals, first pitch 1:05 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all season long, and it begins opening day. Make sure to tune in right here, Thursday, March 30th, 1:05 Eastern, opening day in Braves country, on Braves Country HD.